Hello and welcome to Funny Business, the best podcast in the world. I know Rob said don't say that anymore, but I don't know what else to say. What else is there to say? Well, what do you want?
Not much, mate. Well, it is true. It is true.
What is it? But what is it? What can we change it to? I know that you don't like it. We need something different.
Yeah?
Yeah? Can you think on your feet now?
Or no, I feel
you're like going to crumble under pressure.
A little bit of a crumbling under pressure. But talking about crumble or apple crumble or any sort of...
trying to transition.
Today's guest, we've got Winona Davies. And if you like food or interested in the world of... like, everyone loves food, let's be real.
And building a career in food. Around food.
Yeah, this was a fun chat. I reckon this was, we got to have lots of laughs, lots of interest. So I got to throw you under the bus a little bit about your poor eating habits and learning about Win's journey from being on MasterChef to being a private cook and now her experience that she's about to go head over to France and do a 3-month intensive.
France.
So, yeah, good chat all around. Hope you enjoy it. Win, thank you so much for jumping on the Funny Business podcast. For those at home listening, tell us, who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Wyn. I am a private cook on the Mornington Peninsula. You might know me from a brief stint on MasterChef Australia, season 13. And yeah, basically built my career in private cooking, kind of had it going before MasterChef, but it's definitely ramped up post experience.
We've been looking at your Instagram and some of the stories and some of the food that you're cooking and whipping up. I'm actually really jealous. I'm just like, get that in me. It's
which
yum.
Which is interesting because Locke can be like...
yeah, but I'm just like clean, good food. No, I'll try anything.
When he says that, but you don't understand. He'd be a hard person to cook for. You know, like tell him the story about what you did to your mum's cooking.
Oh, no.
What do you mean? Come on, tell her. Sometimes she makes you something and you don't eat it.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably a bad thing to bring up, bad judge of character of me.
What did she make you?
Well, the thing is like... our family, we're all fussy and my parents are fussy too. So she would cook like 5 different meals for all of us. You know what I mean? So it's just like, that's crazy shit. Like I hear stories of people like you can't leave the table until you finish that or whatever. And I feel like that was pretty normal. You know, like that's probably 90%. Yeah. But for us, it was just like, oh, you don't like that? We'll make it like this. So I've grown up pretty fussy and everyone fucking doesn't like me for it.
Just pandas for it. Pandas
for
it.
Yeah. So that's what I think life is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Panda
for me. But if we go back and be like, world of interesting cooking, interesting food, where did it come from for you?
I feel like that's a question I get quite a bit. I think like growing up, I think we were just lucky to always have like pretty good food in the house. I feel like Saturday was like, go down to South Melbourne Market with mum and my sister and just like, you know, get a big grocery shop for the week or whatever. And then as I got older, I realized that's actually not normal for like every family. Like not everyone plans their week around food and like gets excited about food. And that was something that my family has always done. We've always just been like, what are we eating for dinner tonight? Like, what are we going to have? Like, it's actually like quite exciting to think about. And I have realized that that's actually, you know, not everyone's experience growing up.
Do you remember the first thing that you, like the first things that you actually cooked?
And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
People are going to like this and I'm pretty good at this. Don't worry about that.
I remember my mom had this like quite intense abdominal surgery and she was out of action for like, I'm going to say like 6 weeks. And she had this really old fashioned cooking book. It was like Cookery the Australian Way.
I had that in the house too.
It was like a Bible pretty much of like really Australian food. And there was like a quiche, I think it was a quiche Lorraine. And you had to I think I was about 8 years old and you had to like blind bake the pastry and then make the, you know, the quiche filling and then put it in the oven and put the cheese on top. And anyway, it was quite extensive for an 8-year old. And I was like coming up to her bed and being like, mom, like, what does blind bake mean? Like, what am I doing here? And she was explaining to me and I'd go downstairs and like do the next step. And then I made it for her and she still talks about it now. She's like, that was so impressive, like as an 8-year old and her being in that state, she was just like, you know, it's just one of those stories that is one of my first food memories, I guess.
You still didn't have to turn the oven on.
No, I know how to cook some 2-minute noodles now, but quiche Lorraine, who's Lorraine? Did she make
to this day, I don't know who Lorraine is, but it's like a really, I think it's like a ham and cheese or bacon and cheese with just like a standard kind of quiche. Like cream and, you know, eggs and all of that. It's pretty yummy. It's not bad.
So are you someone that goes through like all the cookbooks and stuff and just like, I want to try and make that. I want to try and make this rather than just sort of stay in your lane with what you're comfortable with. Do you like going outside and trying to cook other things?
I do. Like every now and then, but I think you always come back to kind of the same things, especially like things that we grew up with like mum cooking. I do stick to what I know, but I think that's what's been good with private cooking is that I've had to get out of my comfort zone and do, you know, different things. And if I get sent a menu that I have to do that's Japanese or Italian, and I'm like, I have no idea how to do that. Like, I've got to figure it out. I've got to make it work. So that's been really good for just like learning and growing in that way.
How did it go from going like, hey, I'm into food, I enjoy it as a family, to like, I want to make a career out of this?
I actually don't know what point that kind of ticked over. It's kind of always been a constant in my life that I've enjoyed eating. I think that's always been like my thing. Like, I love going out. I love going to a restaurant. I love trying new things. And then I guess in the last 3 years, it's really kind of ramped up into, oh, I could actually make it my career and do this full time. And I want to do that. And now I'm kind of obsessed with it. So, yeah.
Robbie fancies himself as a bit of a cook too. Ever since I've known him, he's like, I'm pretty handy in the kitchen, and he whips up some nice stuff. I'll give him that, like the butter chicken curry.
What's your thing? Is that the signature dish?
I make some good curries. I reckon I'm all right with curries. I'm not bad in the slow cooker. All right, stir fries. I'm not.
But I feel like, you know, like you've got the basics down pat, where it's like you can mix whatever ingredient. Like, you can come up with things in your head with what's in the pantry. I feel like you're at that level.
Locke laughs because he goes, when I go to Rob's house, all there is ingredients.
Yeah, he's got flour and shit. And I'm just like, where's the packets, bro? Where's the Doritos? I know you're hiding them under the bed, bro. You know, like, come on.
But like, what goes into, like, you do as a private cook, what's a day in the life? How do you plan and prepare for something like that?
So I do a lot of jobs through Gather, which is a company that finds me the work. And then I also do my jobs through A Dash of Win, which is my own private catering. And so Gather, they generally have a menu that they will send to you, and then you'll make their recipes and their menu. So if it's through Gather, I kind of know their menus now, which is good because I've cooked the same ones quite a few times. Go down to the shop, get your ingredients, come home, probably prep for about 6 hours, depending on how big the job is. But generally, it's 6 hours either way, you know, between shopping and prepping. And then the next day, you finish off any bits that you can't do the day before, and then arrive at the location, set it all up, cook, come home, clean it all up. Like, it's a whole, I would say it's a 2-day process for every job, pretty much.
Is it hard when you turn up to someone's like kitchen and they don't have the shit that you need? You know what I mean? Like, you're looking around like, hey, I'm expecting them to have
this. I have to go to fucking Harris Scarf and pick up a pan. You're kidding, bro.
This is why I'm always overprepared. I'm like, I'm going to bring everything with me that I own, because if you don't have it, I'm good. Like, I'm fine. I can make it work. But I feel pretty fortunate with the kitchens that I've worked in, especially on the peninsula. I feel like everyone's got a pretty decent kitchen or oven. Like, you just need a functional oven and a functional stove. And like, size wise, you can work with anything. Like, it doesn't matter how big their kitchen is. But I think, yeah, a functional oven and stove is like a must in that.
Is it just yourself, or do you have other people there helping you out?
So generally it's just me. Yeah. And if the group size is, you know, past 30 or gets into the 40 kind of numbers, and I'll usually have wait staff, and that's usually my stepbrother, or I've had mum help me out on gigs. I'm like, do you guys have a free day? Because I need help. And they'll always, you know, chip in and help, which is so nice. But generally, if it's eight to 10 people, which is usually the group size, it's just me by myself.
If you're planning one of your own ones that comes through yourself, like, what do you like for when you like set a menu? How do you go about thinking
the perfect menu?
Like, playing to your strengths.
Mm.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm like, I don't have like a particular cuisine that I generally kind of gravitate towards. It's just things that I cook for my family at home, you know, things that I love eating, obviously like on an elevated level in terms of like how I do it. But I guess just things that I like eating and I enjoy eating. And I'll always write things down if I make something and I'm like, yep, that's a winner. Because, you know, I think like you're your biggest critic, and you know when something is generally like actually good. So they're like straight on the menu if I know I've, you know, hit something on the head. So yeah.
What about if you've nailed it or whatever, and then you just got a fussy customer that just says, oh, I don't like this or I don't like that, and you're like, well, hang on, that's actually perfect.
I feel like, also again, I feel lucky that I've actually never had a bad experience with a customer, like, not, at least not to my face anyway. it's always been, you know, really, they've always been really lovely. And I think, like, I don't know, everyone's been really, really decent. So I don't know. I haven't actually had a bad experience, touch wood, yet.
What type of people and customers do you have?
Yeah, I think like there's kind of a misconception that a lot of the people that get a private chef or a cook, like, oh, they must be like, you know, they must be loaded, or they must be like, are there any celebrities that you cook for? And it's like, everyone is just, you know, normal people who just want to have a different experience in their house and, you know, drink their own wine at dinner and have someone come in and, you know, do the work that they, so they can enjoy the night, essentially. It's just, you know, a bit of a different kind of setup, I guess.
I feel like you'd meet so many cool people too. Like, because people love food and they connect through food. So when you nail it and everyone's loving it, surely you like it when they come in the kitchen and just shower you with compliments and stuff like that.
100%. Like, that is what keeps you going, I think. Like, when you get that feedback, it just reinforces, like, yep, I'm on the right track. I like it. They'll let you know what they love. And you always know when they like something or they love something. Like, you'll hear it. You'll put something on the table and you'll hear, like, an audible, like, oh, that's amazing, or, you know, whatever it is. And that kind of reinforces, okay, like, yep, that works, or that doesn't work. Or, you know, I think it's, you know, feedback is really important in that job, as hard as it can be sometimes to hear, because, you know, it is, it's your food, you want it to always be good. But yeah, it's important part of the job.
I feel like one of the hardest things about like meal planning or prepping is, like, for me personally, it's like I forget all the things that we've cooked over time. Like, my wife and I, like, we got a young daughter, she's two, and yeah, some of the stuff we've changed is because it's like less spicy food now. Obviously, chili's gone out, which is like,
and he used to pretend to love hot stuff.
It's like added to things, whereas it was like, it was like in everything. Whereas now it's like, I feel like I forget shit that we've cooked. Do you have like a massive recipe book of things that you've, like, no, do you keep photos like of things old that you've hits, done?
Old
there's like, there's a bunch of things that was like, oh, fuck, I forgot. We used to cook that like 2 years ago. That was great. Why did we stop? Why did that drop out of rotation?
Yeah, 100%. And half the time I'll go back just on Instagram and be like, oh, what have I made lately? Like, and I feel like that's really good for, because I'll generally post my private cooks and I'll put them up. So whenever a client's like, oh, can you come up with a menu for me in this style, I'll just go back and have a look and be like, oh, what did I do there? Like, what worked? Like, because I forget as well. I've cooked that many things, especially in the last 3 years, that I don't even know anymore. So yeah, Instagram's great for that.
I was going to say, what about when it gets to a night just for yourself? Like, you've done all this cooking for everyone else. Like, what's your cheat meal? Do you try and make, like, are you like making elaborate things, or is it like simple and making like scrambled eggs for dinner or something?
It's like oven pizza. It's like a pizza out of the freezer. Yeah, 100%.
I love that. It reminds me of like
hot sauce and like a dirty pizza. That's it.
Oh, I love that. It's like the people who write like all the books and stuff. They're on the V and the energy drinks and stuff like that. Like, the people who actually do the work don't consume the end product that you actually deliver, you know?
No. And people say that all the time. It's like, oh, you must eat such, oh, you must cook such amazing food all the time for yourself. It's like, absolutely not. If you saw what I ate, you would be truly surprised. Like, tuna, rice, whatever. Like, I couldn't care less. When I'm cooking for other people, that is all my energy, like, going into that. And then for me, I'm just like, whatever I need to eat to survive, basically. Like, doesn't matter.
I feel like adding a few different things to stuff makes a big difference to flavor. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you cook stuff and there's all these different like spices and different things on there. Even some sesame seeds, bro. It just looks different. You know, and honestly, it does make a difference rather than just the bland stuff I eat normally. You know,
well, you talk about the pizzas out of the oven. That's your Monday through Friday.
Oh, honestly, that's kind of the supreme from McCain. You can't go wrong, honestly. And we've got that pizza little oven thing that you put in, not pizza, like a tray. It burns everywhere. I'm just
Like the silver or the
so good. But that's one, honestly, one of my favorites. But what about like, what are some of the hardest things to cook?
I think the kind of jobs where you need to finish a lot at the location. So ideally, like as a private cook, I try to prep as much as I can before. And obviously, like, there's things that you just have to do at the location. But I think jobs where, like the other week I had to do, I think it was like 15 pieces of salmon, like, and you want to get crispy skin on every single one of them and you want them to all be hot and cook the same. And that was like a bit of a pressure point. And then I had to, at the same time, fry the potato parve. So that was like another you know, thing that you can't take your eye off. So it's like when you've got to do a few different things when you're there and it's, you know, a big group, that's when it starts getting a bit like, but you know, the adrenaline gets you through it. Like, I think it's just something that like you always get, I always get it done. It's just that feeling of, okay, that was a bit more pressure than usual.
Do you like cooking for bigger groups? Like you mentioned before, if there's like 30 people there or however many, like what's the ideal number you think for a dinner party?
For me, I love those groups that are like 6 to 8 people and then like a plated entree, main dessert. I just feel in control of that. But I think when generally if it's a group of 30 or more people, it's more canapé style catering and, you know, you can drip feed kind of all the food out throughout the night. But 6 to 8 is kind of the sweet spot I think I've found in recent years.
I feel like it's when like those when it's like canapes or tapas and that. It's like when
stay here.
Whenever you and I are at events, like we're standing next to the kitchen.
Right next
like,
to the kitchen.
Come back. It's all good.
Yeah. Make friends with the chef. You know, make friends with the chef and then be like, yeah, everything's great. Yeah. Bring it here, we'll eat it all. Don't worry.
You don't want it coming back to the kitchen though, do you? You don't want a tray of stuff that comes back with stuff still on it.
No, that was like when I did this job the other week with my stepbrother and he was taking out the food and I was like, did they eat it all? Like, is it finished? Like, are you sure? Did everyone like get the chance to eat it? Like, why are there still 3 on the plate? Like, go again, try again. Like, it's just like you want your food to be eaten. Every cook wants their food to be eaten and enjoyed and, you know, have good feedback.
And if you're running food, you want to know the people who are going to finish off the tray, you know, so you can go around and you're like, I don't care if there's some left, they're going to that guy.
He looks like a bit of a pig. Let's go back.
Yeah.
That's why they come to us. If we rewind back a little bit, what was the driver behind putting the hat in the ring for the MasterChef experience?
So I was kind of working in a job. I was doing marketing for my auntie and uncle's business in Sydney. So I worked with them for 5 years and like, I was just at that point where I'm like, this is like not it. This is not what I obviously want to do long term. But I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was just like, you know, in that stage, I was like 20, I think 25 maybe. And I was like, I need a career change, but I don't know what I want to do. And I knew I loved food and I was posting on Instagram and doing my cooking and, you know, doing all of that. And then my auntie and I were at a farmer's market one day and this woman like came up out of nowhere and was like, oh, do you like cooking? And I was like, oh, this is random. And she was like, oh, I'm a casting producer from MasterChef. And I was like, are you though? Like, what's going on here? And she was like, oh.
Just walk into this van. Seriously, just come into this van.
Yeah, nothing sus. Anyway, she was like, oh, would you be interested in applying? And I was like, oh, actually, I already have. Like, I'd put my application in 2 weeks before. And I was like, this is so weird. Like, things are aligning in some weird way. And then she basically gave me a call and went through that audition process and I didn't get in. That was my first time I tried. And then the following season was like a comeback season, so I couldn't try out for that. And then the following year was like the COVID year, I think, and she called and was like, are you still interested? And I was like, yes, and I actually have some skills now. Like I've actually been doing some practicing. And went through that casting process, the audition process, where you have to do a few cooks and have a lot of chats with, you know, people on cameras and things like that, and then managed to get in that season. So, yeah, I guess that's where it all started.
What's it like cooking under the bright lights of television and all eyes on and the pressure's on? I know there's editing and stuff, but I feel like it'd be hot under the lights.
And how do you keep the food hot at the end? Do you know, like you're plating up, everyone's waiting to bring their meals up. I always look at that and go, someone has to have been waiting for like 20 minutes to get their food tried. They can't be hot still.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it is a while. And I think the judges just kind of get used to eating food that's maybe not at its peak, I guess. Like, you know, you still get the flavors and you still know if it's, you know, good or whatever. But, yeah, it was a great experience. Like I loved it. It literally changed my life in so many positive ways. But high pressure, like really high pressure. I felt like it, like being creative under that pressure as well, when it's kind of like, okay, you've got 10 minutes, here's a potato, like do something with it. And you're like I would just blank. I'd be like, no, like I have no ideas. I have no idea what I'm gonna do. And I think that was probably like part of my downfall, but like I think you have to be really good at that to get deep into the competition. I think you have to be really good at being creative on the spot and thinking on the spot and not crumbling under that pressure, because like it is a lot of pressure.
Do you have like things in your head beforehand where it's like, if I do get a potato, I'm going to try and do this. If I've got that, if I get a broccoli, I'm going to try and do this. Like, is there things like that in your head, like a blueprint in your brain where you're like, if I get given this, I'm doing that.
Yeah, yeah, you do. And you have ideas, but then they'll throw something different at you, like some like obscure concept that they want you to do for the brief and like completely throw you off. And it's never straightforward. Like, and that's, you know, part of the show, what makes it interesting, I suppose. But yeah, you have your like staple kind of like, you know, how to make a pasta or you know how to make, you know, whatever it is. But it's still, I think, being under that pressure just, it threw me on many occasions.
That's like when we were lucky enough to go on Channel 9 to Today Show, and I think it was like Father's Day or whatever, and we got told by the producer, Rebecca Madden's going to ask these questions. So we were like prepping in our head. We're like, yeah, got it, down pat, no dramas. The last question she asked wasn't on the script, and I was like, I don't have anything. And I was like, I literally don't have anything. I've got this answer that you asked, you know. I was like, I thought I was good on my feet, and I'm just like,
I've got nothing to say.
Yeah.
Next question.
Crumbled. I can say we cookie crumbled, didn't we? We weren't that good, were we?
And was that because, like, you were under, like, you were on camera? Do you feel like that was part of it as well?
It was over Zoom, so it felt like it was, like, and our lighting was funny. Like, we didn't have the blind properly. But, like, oh, I mean, we were so prepared for what they've told us, but then anything, we didn't realize that anything could just sort of happen. It's like, I wish we were just a bit more loose in that situation.
I'm obviously having invited us back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they haven't invited us back
four years ago.
That's the time.
I remember watching like early doors of MasterChef when it first came out, like the first few seasons. I feel like it was so big. It's one of the few, I reckon, one of the few shows from a free-to-air TV that people still really tune into. You know what I mean? Like, as everyone's moved towards like social media and Instagram and other stuff, it feels like MasterChef, especially when they've brought in new judges and had other stuff, where it's still really kicking.
Yeah.
Was that a cool experience, like having so many people like tune in and what you do, what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's also a bit daunting, I guess. Like, it's that also plays into the pressure as well, I think, just knowing that, you know, it is a huge show and a lot of people watch it, and, you know, you want to put something good out and you want to, you know, make something delicious.
Who was the biggest person that came in while you were doing the show? Did they have any like celebrity chefs that come through?
So we had a little bit of the, not the dud season, I'm not going to say that, but we had the COVID season. So everyone was over Zoom. So we had Nigella over Zoom, or like over, not Zoom, like it was like a, I don't know the word. She was just on like, she was
like a hologram.
Yes, like a hologram. Yeah, yeah. So that was what we got for our season. And we had like Ottolenghi and like all these different people over Zoom. But we did get a few, like we had like Poe came in and Reynold, and they were in person, so that was nice. But mainly it was over, the hologram. I used to
love Nigella. She was
my dad loves Nigella.
Everyone's dad loves Nigella.
I think so too. It's hard not to. She says things, and she's like, she tries to sex up food bad. You know, everything she says, even the way she talks about it, it's like, are you trying to turn me on? food is the senses like that, though. Some people's love language is food. You know what I mean? Like that big mix of like how to get to someone's like heart and soul is through their is it through their mouth, through their belly, or whatever.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. Do you feel like that when people eat, or when you meet through their stuff and talk about food?
Yeah, 100%. Like that's like definitely how I like show love in, you know, a relationship, or even with like my family. Like I'm like, I will cook you a meal. I might not say it to your face, but I will cook you a meal. Like that's my love language.
What about like family events and that? Is everyone sort of pressuring you to put you in the kitchen and just be like, hey, like we know Wynn's going to pump out something good. Like, you know.
Like- yeah, I mean, I think like this Christmas was funny because I was meant to have a job on Christmas Eve, which essentially meant like I was out of action for Christmas Day, unfortunately, for Mum. And I was like, look, I can't, like I'm gonna have to focus on this job, and then I'm gonna have to do like the cleanup basically Christmas Day. Anyway, something happened and I couldn't do that job. And then I was available for Christmas Day. So Mum was like, yes, like stoked, we're on. So I end up, you know, I do half of it with her basically. It's the two of us in the kitchen. And you know, we're pretty good together, I think. Like we have our moments, but yeah,
it's like friendship circles. I feel like surely it's like, hey, I've had a few turns in a row, You know what I mean? Like is it someone else's turn now, or like?
No, that's the thing. It's never someone else's turn when you're the cook. Never. And that's why I'll just go to a restaurant and eat out. Like, cause, mum is good. Like, mum does cook a lot. That's where I kind of got my like skills, I guess, in the early days. But yeah, it's definitely the two of us, and because we both love it. Like, it makes a difference when you actually love it and want to do it.
What about takeout? What's your go to? What cuisines? What do you like?
I'm like a Thai Indian kind of vibe, I think. Yeah. Over Italian, definitely. Over a pizza, I'd go like Indian or a Thai, like in a bunch of different things to just kind of pick at.
Yeah, I love that. Fan. Oh. Big fan. Well, you mentioned before off air that you've got something planned for this year. This is a bit different, a bit out of your comfort zone. Can you get into what you're up to?
Yeah. So last year I booked a 3-month cooking course in the south of France. So heading over on the 27th of March. And basically it's 30 hours a week for 8 weeks. No, wait, 12. 12 weeks? I think it's 12-week course. 12 weeks, yeah. And just kind of, I'm like, can I do that?
How long am I there for?
Where am I going?
What am I doing? Who am I? So heading over then in March, and just I felt like I was ready to get some new skills. You know, you can only kind of teach yourself so much, and then you need, I think, you know, someone else to kind of give you a different spin on things. And I don't know, I just felt like an adventure, essentially. I just wanted to go to France. That was kind of the main reason.
Good excuse. You can kill two birds with one stone, can't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, I could do a course in Australia, but why? I could do it in France. Like, I'll do that.
What are you most excited about learning? Like, what stuff have they got as part of the program?
So they've got some really cool patisserie that I see on their Instagram. So lots of different just techniques that you need to learn from someone who knows their stuff. Like, you know, you can teach yourself, obviously, but I think, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting some professional kind of training, because I haven't really, to be completely honest, I haven't done professional. I work in a kitchen every now and then in a French restaurant, and I learn so much when I do that. It's like you just go to a different level when you're being taught by someone who knows what they're doing. So that's what I want more of. And, you know, I want to be really good at my job. I feel like I do my job well at the moment, but I want to take it to that next level. And I feel like that's what this course will help me do.
I feel like I'm such a sucker for like sweets and pastries and shit like that. Like,
I'll
like,
try anything.
Like,
yeah.
Lemon tarts or like, yeah. Just anything like that. Like I'm celebrating thinking about it.
We actually, our business partner, Chris, he's got an office in South Melbourne opposite the market. So we go there every Wednesday. And that's our favorite thing to do, is
walk like, around the South Melbourne market, try all the different stuff. Like it's the best place in the world. You know, the big market's okay, but I don't feel like it has as many things going as like the little stalls and stuff at the South Melbourne market.
Yeah, I'm South Melbourne. Yep, through and through.
What about like sneaky like lunch? If you're at the South Melbourne market, where are you going? What are you getting as a snack for lunch?
I love that little and I forget the name of it. Is it the clay pots at the end?
The, I think so. Yeah.
Pasta kind of fish joint, I think. Yeah. Pasta there, like, and a wine. That's kind of my go-to. Yeah.
Definitely. Sounds pretty good. What are you getting?
Yeah.
I like the, what are they called? The Nutella Borax. Yeah. That's not good. Healthy, but like, I'm just like, I'm probably getting one of them every
day. Like half a tub of Nutella in there.
Yeah. They scoop it in.
It's not a bad. Like, not
they're
a,
generous. Not aren't a they? Bad. And they're kind of rude, which I like. They just pump it out. Yeah. And you're like, you know, it's good when there's a long line. When they're rude as. And you're just
take your food and fuck off.
That's what I feel like with the takeaway joints as well. Like, if you know, like, if it's on Google or whatever and it looks crap, but it's been around for ages, you're like, that has to be good.
And you feel like they don't need you. They're like, we don't need you. You need us. Like, get out. Yeah.
Disrespect me. Yeah, I like it. You know, make me wait an hour. Yes, I need it.
What about some like inspirations in this space, like any like chefs or cooks that you look up to, people that you like their food or what they do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like with Instagram now, there's just so much kind of out there. Like I honestly get a lot of inspiration from there, and just like, you know, following certain accounts, and even if they're not necessarily chefs, like there's a lot of people out there doing really cool food stuff that aren't even, you know, trained chefs or whatever. But yeah, that's where I get a lot of my inspiration, I think. And also just working in the French restaurant I work at, just, you know, taking inspiration from, you know, what they do and how they do things. I think it's like a really high standard. So it's kind of, you know, nice to be around that and that level of cooking.
What about like content, like shooting content? We all like, I'm sure we all love it. Like I love going through TikTok and going through reels and looking at people's food and whatever videos and stuff, but like shooting content while you're working and stuff, how's that been? Like, when did you start doing that?
So I mean, I'd started doing that probably, I reckon I posted like my first food video maybe 5 years ago. I just kind of did it for fun. Like I didn't do it for any reason other than, oh, this, like, I just enjoyed it. Like, that's kind of where it came from, is like, I enjoyed making things and, you know, making them look a certain way and then either taking a photo of it or then, you know, when videos came more in, just like taking videos of things and doing little reels or whatever. And I look at them now and like, I laugh, like the quality of them is hilarious. Like, it's so funny to look at them. It's like, I didn't do that. Like, that wasn't me. But it's interesting to see, like, you know, your progress and how far you've come as well, which is kind of cool.
People love that. I reckon people love digging back and seeing that vulnerability. Like, no one really wants to see the end polished product anymore. I feel like that was a thing of the past. Like, if you can dig through and see people where they might have made mistakes and that, I just think, like, it humanizes them so much where you're like, oh, they're just like me. They learned, like, it's just hard work, yeah?
Yeah. That's what you say about reality TV. You're like, people just want to see people cry. Really? You know, like.
Yeah. No one's into actors anymore. Yeah. These are real people. Their hearts are breaking. You know? Like, how good's that? That's what I feel like.
No one's immune to it. You know, like everyone, like you go back through anyone's profile and you'll see like where they started versus where they are now. And you're like, oh, like we're all just the same like that. We've all, you know, made progress.
Every time Rob and I try and shoot some content together, that's probably the only time we really fight.
Because we don't mind doing pods because it's sort of audio. We take a video for the clips, but if we ever have to do any like scripted video stuff or me, like, We
get annoyed with each other very quickly.
And we spend a lot of time with each other. Yeah. Like,
don't want to hurt each other's feelings, though. We're just like,
right. We're relatively nice. Yeah. Like, we live around the corner. Like, he does a lot of stuff. Like, he does extra daddy daycare for my daughter. And, like, we walk around the Coles holding hands. And
I think she loves me more than you.
But there's, like, one of the few times that we really ever, like, we want to kill each other is when we have to shoot content. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, because I do it essentially all myself anyway, I'm like, I'm arguing with myself sometimes, but I'm like, you know, some days it feels more natural. And then other days you're like, I'm going to do a reel today. And you're like, no, I'm not. Like, this is not working for me. So I don't know. It's just one of those things where, you know, people who do it full time, I admire, because it is not as easy as I think people think it is when they say it.
So. I think you got to feel it, because you can see it on the camera too. If you're not feeling it and you feel like it's just like, hey, we just got to pump something out. It's like not that energized about it, and you can tell. But like in the moment, it's just good when you can just, like, we have that too sometimes. We're like, hey, we feel good today.
Yeah, but I like different people's content. You mentioned before, like scrolling through and looking at people's food. Like I think of people like Brendan from MasterChef, who does his dumplings and he has cooks all these like Asian things. I was watching the other day, he made like a chili oil and he was like, dip the hot oil. He makes like some noodles and shit. And I was like,
dribbling on the toilet.
I'm 15 minutes later scrolling through. But that's the type of content which I feel like not everything has to be like you mentioned before. If you're shooting your own stuff and you're by yourself doing it, it doesn't have to be like down the barrel of the camera. Like, today I'm going to make such and such. Yeah. It's like get ready. It's like, here we are. I'm cooking this shit. Here we go.
And like sometimes I'll do that down the barrel stuff and I'll watch it back and I'll just be like, shut up. Like, you just what am I doing? Like, I'm just like, no, like that is just not, it's hard to sometimes be in the zone. And I think you just have to be in the mood and like the stars and the moons have to align. And I don't know, I think I'm a bit of a perfectionist like that. So most of the time I'll just do my video of my food and like a little bit of me maybe. And like, that's good. But you know, you want to test the waters. You want to see like different ways of doing things and like give different things a go and see how people respond to them. Cause I've done a few of those things where I've done like a day in the life and I've done a bit of a voiceover and then that went really well and really differently to anything that I'd ever done in the past. So you do have to like, you have to keep pushing yourself to do different things, whether or not it works or not is, you know, you find out later, but yeah.
Hey, probably a good segue. A question we ask all our guests is a bit of a mental health one. What do you turn to when you're looking to get some energy back in your life?
I love to walk. So I'll just like go for long walks. Like that is my thing. Like I'll just, every day. Like I need it. Like I have to do my long walk. I'll do like an hour and I'll come back and I'll feel like human again. It's like, yeah, that's kind of my thing.
Do you rock the headphones? Are you listening to music or are you just taking in nature?
No, podcast all the way. I'll listen to a podcast. I'll listen to music. I'll switch it up. Like if the podcast gets a bit too heavy, a bit deep, I'll be like, okay, time for some music. And then I'll go back and yeah, always listening to something though.
I love pumping the tunes.
Your long walks.
Main character energy. Yeah. An hour a day. I've been doing.
And you're like, I might actually start running now. And then you're like,
it's really, yeah. And I start thinking, there's going to be a movie about my life. I feel like I'm Diesel walking through the forest near the beach now.
Diesel.
You know, but like that has been a savior for me too. Like just going for the walks and getting out. I used to love it. When I could listen to music without, like, with the old shuffle and shit, like the MP3s and stuff, because I was distracted by my phone a bit now because people, I turned the notifications off, but that's the point, just to get away from him trying to message me.
We were living in Torquay, when he would he'd do this same loop, and I knew the loop he would do, and most of the time we'd be doing some stuff and then we'd get sick of each other and he'd go back to his house, go for his walk, I'd go for a surf or whatever. But there's a couple of times he'd be walking down the main esplanade in Torquay.
Power walking.
Long strides, you can see it.
Underrated sport.
He's got the bald melon out with the big overhead earphones in. And, like, I'm screaming at him. Like, I'm tooting the horn. And, like, everyone's looking. And he's got, like, music full blast, head down, doesn't notice anything. He's out to the world. Like,
get away from me.
What soundtrack are you listening to get yourself in that zone?
Honestly, so random. Like literally, like I'll have like a 2000s playlist. I'll like listen to literally anything and everything. But like then I'll find a song and I'll be like, I'm going to listen to that 10 times now because I really like that. And that's my walking song for this walk. Like I'm a bit like, yeah, that's kind of a bit OCD.
What about any recommendations, any pods that you're loving at the moment in particular that you want to give a shout out or music?
So I love Jamila Jamila's podcast, I Weigh. I love her. I think she's amazing. Really interesting. That's kind of like my more intellectual podcast where I'm like, I'm in the mood to think a little bit deeper today. And then I also love Life Uncut, like the Brittany Hockley and Laura Byrne podcast. Like it's just fun. It's like, you know, having friends kind of, you know, in years kind of vibe. But they're probably my two go-tos. Yeah.
I love that. Matt, we had Matty J on the pod maybe a couple of years ago. He's a good man. Yeah. He's so funny. They're killing it with what they're building. And I think like for people's growing up and like seeing how you can make a life through just doing different things and taking chances and putting yourself out there. Yeah. I feel like that's the fear of putting yourself out there holds so many people back, I feel like. And like they get scared of the ways to shoot the content. So they're just like, I'm just not going to do it. And then they end up still hating their life. It's like, you got to take some chances.
You've
got to
push past it. And then I think once you do, you realize like, you like broaden your horizon of what you think you can do. You just like once, you know, it's like an example is MasterChef. Like after I did that, I was like, oh, well, okay. There was a point in life where I didn't think I could do that. And then I did do that. And then like, what's next? Like, what am I going to do next? Because nothing's really out of reach. It's just all in your head. Like you just got to be like, I'll give it a go. Like what's the worst thing that can possibly happen?
Oh, I always hated the people who said, oh, I could have done this or I could have done that. It's like, but you didn't. I didn't want to be one of those people. It's like, I'd rather fail and they'd be like, hey, what a try hard. But
100%.
Yeah, but it's weird that you keep calling it out at the start before they've even said anything. Well, you didn't do this, you know. Hey, you've just been a prick, mate, you know. Hey, well, before you head away, if someone wants to come and get involved and eat some of your cooking, how do they do that?
Yeah, so a lot of my bookings you can just go through, just send me a message on Instagram at @adashofwin, or you can send me an email at adashofwin@gmail.com, and yeah, we can create an amazing menu.
Oh, I love that.
Easy. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning, and excited to see what you come back after you're cooking in France.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, honestly, I feel like you need to go to France, I reckon.
Go to France.
You need a bit of a tinge to the accent that you got, I reckon.
Do you like that Wynn has frozen pizza in the oven?
Honestly, I could not believe that. It actually makes me like more keen on just eating more oven pizza because people like her smash them too.
Yeah?
Yeah. So it's like it's not that bad. If Wynn's eating them, I can eat them too.
Hey, well, if you're new to Funny Business, please hit the share button and send it to a friend. We've been around guest episodes now. I don't know what number this is. 302? 303?
Nah, number 300.
300?
Yeah.
I said it last. I've got confused on how it is. Number 300.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You get
crazy.
Confused very easily.
Four years of doing the pod and everything today. Like if you followed along since the start of our journey, Never done any paid marketing or any of that sort of stuff. So the only growth from our show comes from people in our community sharing it with people. And if you like this episode, please, it's not hard to do. Just hit that share button and send it on to someone. Thanks. See you next time.
Hey, funny business listeners, Caleb from SquareX here. I just wanted to jump on and let you guys know at the end of this ep, SquareX is currently open for investment. So if you're interested in learning more about what we do at SquareX and want to get involved in the digital future of the agricultural supply chains, you can reach out to me directly on LinkedIn or to the Dream Big Social Club team to learn more.